Bruce Siski Show. Interact with the show on social media. Tell us what you think and learn about upcoming guests. Follow Bruce Siski Show on Twitter.
That's my bad. I was sending a tweet.
Visit KDAL610.com to stream the show or catch it on the 610 KDAL mobile app. Free from iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your apps.
And the truth shall set you free.
Thanks for listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
Bruce Siski Show on a Monday. It is 10-11, third day of October 2022. Hope everyone had a good weekend. As we get rolling here, we are going to continue throughout the week. Our week back on September 22nd at NCHC Media Day in St. Paul. Had a chance to speak with all the NCHC head coaches not named Scott Sandelin. That's already on the podcast page, our preseason chat with the head coach. And there were four teams that started last weekend, including UMD. We heard from those other three coaches last week. We've got four left in those four teams, North Dakota, Denver, Colorado College, and who am I forgetting? Yeah, Miami, West Michigan, I started it. Denver, CC, Omaha. Yeah, we'll hear those four coaches this week. Mike Gabinet at Omaha, Brad Berry in North Dakota, Chris Mayotte of Colorado College, and David Carl of Denver, the defending national champs. And that conversation you'll hear from Media Day coming up at about 10:35 this morning. Waiting to hear from Jeff Papas on Bulldog football as a UMD went to 3-2 with a homecoming victory on Saturday afternoon against Minnesota State Moorhead, Mulaski Stadium. 264 rushing yards for UMD, and they managed to outrush Moorhead by over 300 yards. It was one of those, because in college football, sacks count as rushing attempts, quarterback sacks. They come off the rushing yardage total. So Minnesota State Moorhead ran for minus 36 yards, which means that they were outrushed by 300 yards on Saturday afternoon because quarterback Jack Strand was sacked four times, for more than 40 yards in losses. Oof. Tough day for the running game. Strand did go 30 of 40 for 340, though, so made up for it that way, but it's just one of those bizarre games that you see every now and then in college football where a team that throws a bunch, and Moorhead throws a bunch, and then to exasperate the problem, they fell behind early and then they really didn't get to the running game at all. So they threw even more than they maybe normally would. And UMD had as many rushing attempts in the game as Moorhead did total plays, 54. It was one of those days. But the Bulldogs survive as Moorhead charged in the fourth quarter, trying to make a game of that thing. And it was probably a little closer than the final score indicated. Probably a little closer. But a win is a win for the Bulldogs. They needed that. Get to 3-2. Sioux Falls beats Augustana for the key to the city on Saturday. So the Cougars are sitting at 4-0. Hey, this is still a playoff that UMD can get to. It's just going to take some work and some help. But they got to win out, and that's the bottom line right now, and it's obviously a lot easier said than done in this league. And we'll have Jeff on as soon as he becomes available. Of course, you know, day jobs are day jobs. We understand that. We'll reschedule if we have to. Other things from the weekend, and there was a lot. And we'll start in college football. Congratulations to Mike Heffernan, St. Scholastica, as the Saints, for the first time as a MIAC program, win a conference game. They beat Hamlin 43-42, dramatic comeback. They scored the last 16 points in that game after trailing 42-27. Kyle Oswald, a 26-yard field goal with 8 seconds left. That's what put the Saints ahead for good. Donald West, 32 of 52, 359, three touchdowns. Also ran for a score. as the Saints go to 2-2 overall, 1-1 in MIAC play. We talked about the Gophers last week. There was a lot of national hype for the Gophers. And this is what we get. Now, in our defense, we did not know Muhammad Ibrahim was not going to play. It appeared to be a minor ankle injury suffered the previous week for Ibrahim, but he did not play Saturday, and the Gophers could not run the ball. They were held to 26 rushing attempts and 47 yards. Just a tough day for the Gophers on the ground. Tanner Morgan threw three interceptions. That's a career high, and Purdue wins 20-10. But the big story in college football over the weekend happened yesterday in Madison, where Wisconsin fired head coach Paul Christ in the midst of his eighth season after a disastrous loss to Illinois at Camp Randall Stadium Saturday, 34-10, a game where, to make it even worse, the Badgers trailed 14-10 at halftime. And evidently, Paul Christ walked in the locker room and told his players to draw a line in the sand with some colorful language mixed in. The players went out and were outscored 20-0 after halftime. They turned the ball over a couple of times. They couldn't stop the run. They couldn't get the run going. They were dominated in the trenches on both sides of the ball and looked completely lifeless in that second half. And it's watching this, and it's, as a Badgers fan, this is hard to stomach. Paul Christ did a lot of really, really good things with this program, but there are two things that college football coaches at that level have to be able to do on a consistent basis. Number one, recruit. Number two, develop. And a lot of times that development, it shows with guys that end up in the NFL. You see these programs always bragging up their guys that are in the NFL, and that's always cool to see. But the reality of it is, if you can't do one or both of those things, you're in trouble. You can get away with not being an elite recruiter if you are elite at developing talent. Wisconsin did it for years. And look at the lineage of running backs. Whether it be Jonathan Taylor or Melvin Gordon, Monte Ball, Brent Moss back in the day, Ron Dane, none of these guys were heralded five-star guys out of high school. Might be a couple of fours in there, but these are a lot of three-star recruits. Offensive line. You know, whether it be Joe Thomas or Ryan Ramczyk or Trent Frederick, these guys, again, we're not talking about five-star recruits. These are players, you know, Wisconsin was able to find, identify, and develop. They were never elite at recruiting, but they were elite at development and in the key positions, whether it be along the offensive line, in the defense, especially at linebacker, it feels like over the years, and at running back. And they get by everywhere else. Yeah, they had Russell Wilson for a year. Yeah, Scott Tolzien went on, had decent run of the NFL, started a bunch of games, but they've never had elite quarterbacks, elite wide receivers. But they develop players. Now you look at this team. Graham Mertz, four-star recruit. Has he gotten better? Because every time it feels like he takes a step forward, he follows it with at least one step backward. That's not development. The offensive line is not gelling. Always been an area of strength. Braylon Allen is not, to me, he's not developed as a running back. He hasn't gotten better since last year. And the list goes on, and the record shows it. And now the recruiting is taking a step back. They were 11th last year. They're 12th going into next year. That's not good trajectory. And then on top of it, when the head coach walks in the locker room and says it's time to draw a line in the sand, and the players go out and respond like that, that it, you cannot recover as a coach. You're done. That's it. When that happens at that level, and that's the response, it's over. It's that simple. It's not fair. You know, it's not necessarily anything on Saturday Paul Chryst did wrong, trying to motivate his players. But the fact that they didn't respond, it's galling. It's damning. And it was a sign. Chris McIntosh, newish athletic director, just kind of last week tried to give the old vote of confidence. Well, that didn't last very long. 39-year-old Badgers alum Jim Leonard, a three-time All-American defensive back, played 10 years in the NFL. He is the interim coach, and he takes over effective immediately. He has not decided, Leonard says, at the press conference last night, if he will continue to call defensive plays or if he's going to leave that duty to somebody else on the staff. But that decision will be made at some point here this week. And, you know, Leonard's been highly regarded in coaching circles to the point the Packers tried to hire him away to run their defense after the 2020 season, and Leonard turned him down. He wanted to stay at Wisconsin and continue what they were building there. Now he's the front guy. Obviously different being the head coach, and it's going to be interesting to follow that one to see what happens. In-season coaching change for Wisconsin was not on my list of things to expect this year. Absolutely not. This was, even, you know, knowing that what happened at halftime and how they responded, how poorly they played in the second half, how lifelessly they played in the second half, and I'm thinking, well, this is going to have to end. I did not think it was going to end yesterday. That one blew me away. I was shocked. I still kind of am. Like, it's just not a Wisconsin thing to do. Then again, it's also not a Wisconsin thing to do to get trampled at home by Illinois the way they did on Saturday. So a response certainly was required. 10:23, more to come. Denver head coach David Carl talks about the defending champs after our news update. Bruce Siski Show on a Monday morning on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Krim. The University of Minnesota football team lost for the first time this season, falling at home to Purdue on Saturday 20-10. We'll have post-game reaction after this.
At Western National, we believe in the power of nice. Nice welcomes you. Nice is sincere. Nice has your back. Nice offers a helping hand and shows up for you when you need it the most. At Western National, Nice has guided our business for over 100 years, and we're just getting started. Ask your independent agent today for Western National Insurance and experience the power of Nice.
Golden Gopher head coach P.J. Fleck says they didn't play well enough on Saturday to win the game against Purdue.
We didn't deserve to win the football game. It's simple. You know, I mean, this is, we need to respond from this, but we play really good complimentary football. But if we're one-sided, we're not going to be a very good football team. And we had plenty of opportunities. It wasn't like we didn't have our opportunities. In the first half, we threw an interception. We go for it on fourth down, should be able to get a yard. We don't. We miss a field goal. We throw an interception. We drop a touchdown that hits us in the hands. When you're in the Big Ten, if you make those mistakes, you're not going to win many games. And so what I liked was the response coming out in the second half. Took the ball down the field, scored, right? Now, I thought the defense played really hard. We gave up some too many big plays at the end of the game. And, you know, this is a team. This isn't about one side or the other, but we did not deserve to win that football game. Even if we found a way to win it, we didn't deserve to win it. And, you know, this team's got to continue to learn that. And it starts with me. We got to be better. But again, those things I just pointed out without looking at any other stats, I mean, that's the story of the game.
That's Golden Gopher head coach P.J. Fleck. Minnesota has a bye week this week and then visits Illinois a week from Saturday. For more info on Gopher football, go to gophersports.com. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
The Bruce Siski Show.
Just stay out of my way. You'll pay. Listen to what I say.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may. What do you say?
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAO.
10:29, Monday morning. Glad to have you along. Here on KDAO, Bulldog hockey returns on Friday, October 14th. And thank our friends at Cat Country 98.9 for hosting us over the weekend as UMD opened the season with a sweep of Arizona State, 3-2 overtime Saturday, 4-1 yesterday. A lot of firsts. First for Isaac Howard came Saturday. First as a Bulldog for Derek Dashke wins the game for UMD on Saturday. Overtime goal for Dashke, the 25th of his college career. And then Ben Steves scores his first Bulldog goals 57 seconds apart in period number two of yesterday's game. Actually, the first lead of the weekend for UMD on Steves' first goal of the game and of his Bulldog career. A power play goal in the second period. Bulldog power play went 3-for-6 on the weekend. Good sweep for UMD to get things started. Zach Stayskull got the net on Saturday. Matthew Thiessen yesterday. Both were good. Bulldogs off this weekend. Mentioned they're in Mankato October 14th and back here on KDAL. Our coverage next Friday from Mankato at 6:30. While they're perfect in the preseason, might want to start saving some wins for games that count, because they do count for real starting next Thursday. And hats off to the Minnesota Wilderness. Their first three-game sweep in club history, beating Anchorage. Overtime wins on Friday and yesterday, and a one-goal win on Saturday. But coming up, we'll preview the net. Defending national champion Denver Pioneers head coach David Carl after CBS News at 10:31.
Stream the show now at KDAL610.com, or you can take us anywhere by downloading the free 610 KDAL app. This is the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
10:34. Tomorrow, UMD Women's Hockey Associate Coach Laura Bellamy. They're back from their four-game trip out east. They won all four games, including a shutout of nationally ranked Penn State to close things out in Canton, New York on Friday. Also this week, UMD volleyball coach Jim Boos in studio on Wednesday. Bulldogs play at St. Cloud State tomorrow. Both teams are 15-1 overall, 7-1 in the NSIC. UMD women's hockey fifth-year senior Gabby Hughes. And we'll hear from the other NCHC coaches that start their seasons this week. Chris Mayotte at Colorado College, Brad Berry, North Dakota, Mike Gabinette of Omaha. But mentioned, we've got all these conversations we have with NCHC coaches as part of Media Day, September 22nd in St. Paul. And one of those, the head coach of the defending national champion Denver Pioneers. Here's my conversation with David Carl.
Well, since we last spoke, some hardware added. And congratulations, first off.
Thank you.
Take me through, first off, well, I want to go back to Loveland quickly. How cool is that environment? I talked to Justin Lee earlier about it. Just how neat that was for everybody involved.
Yeah, I mean, it was great. Obviously, the winning the two games helps a lot, but two really tight hockey games. And, you know, first time for us since 03 in hosting in the state. And we were set to host, you know, in 1920 when the COVID year happened. And then the next year, we don't make the tournament. We're playing regionals in front of no fans, but there was a Loveland regional that year. And so to finally be able to get there, it seemed like we had planned the Loveland regional for a number of years, and to finally actually get there and see it with fans was really a lot of fun. And you know, to honor Ralph Backstrom, one of our former coaches who really, you know, he started the Colorado Eagles organization, was huge in that community, you know, and he passed away that past February. And so to be able to do that was an incredible experience and great to have that support. It's unique for us because we're generally on the road and we don't get a lot of support at the regionals. And so to have that for our players and have that be a part of their championship experience, I think was an incredible thing for them.
You know, you've been to regionals where it, you know, not been well attended, and we've been to regionals that weren't well attended, and it's just different. And when you have one like that, we were in Fargo when North Dakota was there in 17, and
yep,
unbelievable environment, that building, and to be out there in Loveland, that was a great environment too. And you want that for all the regionals, but when you have it, boy, you want to relish it, don't you? That was really cool.
Yeah, it is. You know, we've played in this building against Ferris State and BU in front of 2,000 people, and I think it's you know, I know that the NCAA, we're in contracts and things like that, but it certainly seems like now is the time more than ever to start discussing changing the regional model to make it a more lively atmosphere for the student athletes and for the fans. We want to grow the game and we want the kids to have an unbelievable experience. And, you know, if I'm Duluth, like I want to play, even if it's a Denver crowd, I want to play in a building that has some energy. If we had to go into Amsoil and play them, I'd rather play them there, you know, than play them out in Worcester. So yeah. There's no doubt about it that the format and the setting of it needs to be examined furthermore. And to make it really better for the kids. That's what it's most important.
Talking to Denver coach David Carl. So you play Lowell. Lowell and UMD were not identical teams. I'm not trying to say that, but how much did playing UMD five times before that help you when it came to playing Lowell and falling behind in that game and making sure your guys stuck with it? Because that's really what it came down to.
Yeah, no, I mean, Lowell, really good hockey team, well coached, very detailed, good structure, bigger team. You know, I think playing in our league certainly helped us. We only played North Dakota twice last season in the Ralph, and it was early in the year. So that Duluth was kind of that next team on our schedule that we got to play five times, and definitely the most similar in regard to commitment to defense and how hard it is to generate offense and get inside the dots. And so, yeah, I think playing in our league and playing Duluth the five times, I think, was really beneficial in our preparation for Lowell. And having played Duluth and losing the game here at the X the week prior, I think, was a really good experience for us, too, to harden our game defensively and offensively that did help prepare us for Lowell. And I think that's the strength and the beauty of our league is we push each other, but we really do help each other in those types of games.
You get to the Frozen Four. You're in Boston. A building's been good to your program as it seems here. Yeah. Now it's, I think, two out of the last three you guys have won in that building. Maybe you should petition for more Frozen Fours in Boston, right?
Yeah.
But you get there and you're playing Michigan, and obviously going into that, all the talk is all these great first round picks from Michigan, all these great talents, a lot of guys that we're going to see in the NHL. We saw them before the season ended. We're going to see more of them here this coming season as it gets started next month. But did that maybe galvanize your group a little bit? Maybe more than it already was, hearing all the talk about Michigan and, hey, we're here too?
I think human nature, yeah, a little bit.
It wasn't something you brought up actively though, right?
No, I don't think we needed to. I mean, you know, our players know who's on their team. And, you know, I think, again, playing Duluth and Lowell and being in those tight checking games, I think prepared us to have to defend well against Michigan. And I give our guys a lot of credit. They understood that, you know, if we want to have success, there's no shortcuts that you can take against Michigan defensively. You have to be committed to your team game. And even if you're that, you still may lose the game. And we won in overtime. And, you know, so it's not like we dominated them on the scoreboard. I thought we executed our game plan exceptionally well. We limited them to, I think, 24, 25 shots in 3.5 periods. But it was still, they got enough talent that they only need that many shots some nights. And, you know, I thought it was a great job by our guys. We practiced really well and leading into it. And they were really excited to take on Michigan, the team who was, you know, directly in front of us too in the title count, which I think factored into it as well.
That championship game with Minnesota State, you know, obviously behind going into the third, you know, how good did it feel to get the first one for your group? Because it felt like the dam broke after that.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, things weren't going great in the first. I thought halfway through the second, we started to pressure pucks better, create some turnovers, but our puck support and our ability to make a play just was not there. A lot of that was what they were doing, but a lot of it was us not playing to who we are. And even the way we started the third wasn't great, and so it did take that goal, I think, to let our bench know and show our guys that, hey, we are still in this. It's 1-1. And from there, like, our team showed an ability to score in bunches all season long. And they got a little bit of life and a little bit of their mojo back. And we started making a few plays. And the next two were beautifully executed plays by Mazur and Rizzo, and then Benning with the one-timer goal on the power play. So, you know, from there we just rolled. And I think too is, you know, they have a great team, but in their league, they don't get punched back as much as maybe it happens in our league. And, you know, they got punched back and they didn't know how to respond. And our guys kind of sensed blood in the water and kept going. And thankfully, our goaltender showed up the first 40 minutes and was excellent for us and kept us in the hockey game to give us a chance.
Magnus Crona is where I wanted to start here. And talking about your team and the guys coming back, he's a guy that I think maybe has not gotten the credit he deserves for the work that he's done. To me, wins aren't a goalie stat. I think I said that to you last season. But his numbers have been pretty consistent. And boy, oh boy, did he step up. And was he really good when you needed him to be last year?
For sure. I think he's on a really good path. I mean, goaltenders generally take a little bit longer to develop, and he didn't come to us as a true freshman. He's been really good in moments of his career. He's had other moments that have been learning opportunities for him. And even last year, I mean, he had a couple dips that I thought he used in a really positive way. Ryan Massa did a great job with him as our volunteer goaltending coach, just getting his mindset and his focus in the right place. And at the end of the day, he was our best player in those four games, and without him, we have no chance in even potentially getting past the first game. So that was great to see, and excited to see him back as a senior to try and be that goaltender, you know, for 85-90% of the season, you know, like we know that he can be. And so really excited for him just to take that next step to not only help himself and our team this year, but for his long-term prospects as a professional.
I mentioned the Justin Lee. This is a historic program that's had some great, great captains over the years, and it means a lot to have your name on that list. What does it mean to you to have Justin Lee as a captain?
Yeah, he's a great human, first and foremost, comes from great parents. Don and Carla did a great job with him. Justin grew up on a farm and still farms to this day, helps his dad out all summer. He'll have to, his summer plans are always in flex because it might be time to seed or it might be time to pull stuff out. And he calls, coach, I got to go home for 2 weeks. Can I do that? Can I come back in 2 weeks? And he's just really good about, you know, family is most important to him, and I think that aligns with our values. And they've done a great job raising a really good young man. And he's hardworking, he's accountable, he's honest, and I think he represents a lot of what our program tries to be year in and year out. And so I think he's going to do an excellent job being our team's captain this year. And just excited for him, just like we talked about with Magnus, just to take that next step in his development, both personally and on the ice.
You mentioned Mike Benning. He's back. Shai Booyam is back. Sean Behrens is back. A couple tremendously talented young defensemen. Tell me about your blue line. How excited are you to see that continued development, especially those young defensemen you have?
Yeah, it's very different, right, than it was last year. It was, you know, they're all young, kind of unproven with the guys you mentioned, Shai, Mike, Sean, and how their games are going to come along. And this year, yeah, our top five defensemen are back. Our goaltending, all three of them are back. So that is really that group of, you know, eight people that are returners that played big minutes last year are going to need to be exceptional for us early on. And again, it's about growth. That's why they're here, to grow as people and to grow as hockey players. And all of them have more responsibility, and expectations are higher of them for the program to sustain the level we want to be at. And I think they're all prepared and ready to live up to that standard.
How much fun did you have watching Carter Mazur in the World Juniors?
Yeah, he was great. It was fun watching him twice in the in the World Juniors because he was good in the December tournament.
Yep.
As well. But a kid again who is taking a little bit of the longer path, didn't come as a true freshman, has done a really nice job just sticking with his process, not comparing himself to others, just kind of being within his world and being a team first guy. And his game and his personality just continues to mature and develop along with his physical body and stature. And again, another guy who has had a really good freshman year, is going to wear letter for us this year as a sophomore. And we expect to take steps off and on the ice.
You said that he's wearing a letter as a sophomore. That type of thing doesn't grow on trees in this league, especially. That's pretty special.
Yeah, for sure. For him to be one of the four guys wearing a letter, he's been a captain and junior, which I think probably helps him. And again, he didn't come as a true freshman. So, he turns 20 this year. And so, anyways, I think that plays a factor. And again, it comes back to the recruiting process, the parenting, how he was, his upbringing. And it's no surprise that he's got some natural leadership abilities. But he's surrounded by a really good group of some upperclassmen as well.
Finishing up here, David. Denver head coach David Carl, the defending national champions, co-champions, Co-Penrose Cup winners of North Dakota last season. So you lose a lot up front. There's no doubt about that. I don't have to go through all the names. You know who they are. And you're not going to ask one or two guys to replace all that. This is going to be done by an entire group, isn't it?
Yeah, the forward group is obviously where we lost the most. You know, six of our top nine exited the program to graduation, two early signings. And so, yeah, guys who are back, like the six who played in the Frozen Four, those guys all need to step up and do more. And we feel we supplemented some really good new pieces coming in the door as well, whether it be freshmen or transfers. And it's going to take us a little bit of time to get on the same page offensively, but that's our job to teach and be patient and try and figure out what works with the group. And very confident that it will come together and we'll be a very good hockey team again.
Not a lot of Avalanche fans in the building that we're sitting in right now, but how cool is that to see that, you know, to see Denver get a college and NHL championship? That's just not something that you see happen all that often.
No, it's the first time, I think, since Boston did it, yep, like in the 70s. So, yeah, great for our city. Hockey is booming in Denver and in Colorado, and that's a really good thing for their organization and our program and just the youth players that are going to be more engaged, more interested in the game. And it was really fun to witness that, and even better to have an alum in Logan O'Connor on the team now. I think he's one of like 30 NCAA players to do both. He's only the second DU pioneer to do both. And so great accomplishment for him as well.
You're picked to top the league this year. No surprise in the preseason poll. I know that's worth the paper it's printed on, but you know, the target's already on your back, just fine and dandy. But when you look at this league, I've mentioned this to other coaches, the bottom's coming up. The teams that are finishing 6th, 7th, and 8th are not what we saw, you know, 6, 7 years ago. These are really competitive teams. And, you know, if you don't come correct every night, you're going to get beat possibly in this league. You know, for you, you know, are you seeing this league tougher and tougher every year somehow? Because the top's not coming down, the bottom's coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, year in and year out, it's a really challenging league. I think all eight programs do an excellent job in running their programs and supporting their programs. And so we all sustain losses. But as excited as some people are that we lose certain players or we're excited other teams lose certain players, we all recruit and sell what this league is, and people and players want to be a part of it, and we all reload, and it's going to be another you know, war this year to figure out who's going to finish where, and we fully expect it to be an absolute challenge and battle, and looking forward to it.
Denver head coach David Carl, Pioneers co-hosting the Icebreaker tournament this weekend with the Air Force Academy. They'll play the Pioneers, will Notre Dame on Friday night in Denver, and then Maine to close it out on Saturday. 10:50, wrap things up in a moment. Monday morning edition, Bruce Siski Show on KDAL.
AM 610 KDAL. News, weather, sports.
Busy week, and we will continue tomorrow. Jeff Papis unable to join this morning. Real life gets in the way sometimes. We'll get him on tomorrow to talk Bulldog football about 10:10, and then UMD Women's Hockey Associate Coach Laura Bellamy, fourth ranked at least right now. We'll see if things change when the polls come out later on today. Bulldogs at home this weekend, home opener against Minnesota State Mankato Friday and Saturday at Amsoil. Have a great Monday. Thanks for listening. Sound Off is next.
This has been the Bruce Siski Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siski Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no, well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siski Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.